John chapter 1. The message today is how to become a child of God. John chapter 1, verse 10. He, the Lord Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become children of God, even to them that believe on his name, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Listen to verse 13. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Let us speak to the Lord again in prayer. And Father, we are thankful that your Son was able to tell us of earthly things and of heavenly things. We are glad that he was aware of our dullness and was willing to impart the ability to understand to all who had that willingness to understand. We thank you for that. We are glad that we know that it is not the same will of God that any man perish. We are thankful also that we know the way that you, our God, have determined to prevent man from perishing. And all of these things are in thy word. We could have wished to be on earth, our God, when thy Son was here, to hear him speak these words. But our Father, we may have forgotten them. But we are thankful that you have recorded them in the Scriptures, and we may read them again and again as they come from thee, because all Scripture is inspired of God and profitable. We thank you, our Father, for the Word of God, this book that is brighter than the Sun of Heaven. We are thankful that the Sun of Heaven can shine into our eyes. We rejoice that the Sun of the light of the Word of God can shine into our hearts. And that is our desire, our Father, that you may illumine us, because you know what we are within. And if your Word shines into our hearts, we shall know what we are within. So that is our prayer to thee this morning. Let us know that the hearts of men must be prepared by thy Spirit. What farmer would sow seed without preparing the soil? And our Father, what minister of the Word would seek to sow the seed of the Word of God without first imploring that thy Spirit to prepare the hearts of men? So do that. And who is sufficient to speak the holy words of God? Thus, you are he who makes men sufficient. Our sufficiency is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank you for this. And therefore, we would also beseech thee that we might be clean. We confess our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse. And glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. This verse that I read to you, verse 13 of the first writing of John, the Gospel before the Epistles, this verse has been brandished before me by those that are determined to make salvation entirely of God apart from man. What they would do is to shut out any responsibility on the part of man and make salvation in its entirety of the Lord, and they have sought to set aside what I have been teaching you all these years, that salvation results from repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Those are words that you find spoken by Paul in Acts chapter 20. And why they are so important is that he tells us that he preached and the reason of his preaching those words. Think carefully now. Paul said that I preach to Jews and Gentiles, Greeks. He preaches to men of all nations the same message, and that is repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell people that, they will set it aside. First, some will say there was no need of repentance in the preaching of the gospel. Well, Paul did not know that. He preached repentance. He did not know that. And faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, well, Paul preached that. He did not know that that was no part of salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. Our children knew that when he was in the belly of the whale. That's what he cried out. And not only so, but the verse that I read to you in verse chapter 1 of John's Gospel, 1:13, says this. It says that men are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And this is their challenge. Show me in that verse anything that says man has anything to do with salvation. And looking for that verse alone, I am paralyzed to agree that that verse tells us nothing that man has to do to receive salvation. What they would do would be convert me to Calvinism. And if their interpretation of that verse were correct, and I believed it, I would be a Calvinist. But I'm with you this morning. So evidently, it is not the teaching of that verse. The teaching of the verse is this. It is bringing to our attention the negative part of salvation as to man, and the positive part of salvation as to God. But as for man, he is turned into nothingness in that verse, and I fully agree with it. But the solution is so simple that all you have to do is not read verse 13 and stop, but read verse 12 and then read verse 13. He introduces it by saying, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now let me brandish this verse before you. Tell me in verse 12, where God is. You say, as many as receive him, or that man receiving him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now that verse is telling me all about what man has to do. Yes, it's telling you all about what man has to do, and that is the answer. They go to verse 13 and say, salvation is of the Lord. Verse 12 says, of course salvation is of the Lord. That you having received, you having believed, become a child of God. It mentions our responsibility first, having received Christ, having believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, we become God's children. Now, let me brandish that before you. Tell me where God is in it. He said, well, it simply says, he gives the power, yes. But when does the power come? You say, when we receive and when we believe. Well, then let's leave God out. You say, no, we can't do that. So let's read verse 13 and leave man out. You say, no, we can't do that. Well, what do we have to do? We have to inseparably consider verse 12 with verse 13. Man receiving and believing, and God regenerating the man who believes and receives. That is always the way it is in the Word of God. And there are always those, and perhaps innocently, who would seek those scriptures that tell us God's part and not mention man's part. And there are the others who seek those scriptures mentioning man's part, but not telling us at that time God's part. And therefore, it's all of man. And others, it's all of God. But the scripture teaches it is God and man. First God, but also man. And there was nothing in the Word of God that ever says salvation is of the Lord in this sense, that a man is walking along, a child of Adam, and without any effort or thought on his part, he becomes a child of God. That is foreign to the scripture, because it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So whenever God is speaking of his salvation, and this salvation is of the Lord, he says, the only way that you procure it is by responding to the overture that I first made in your heart. Now, grasp that. It is absolutely essential that we understand that if a man thinks that there is something in him, of him, that makes him a child of God, that is to be nullified. But at the same time, if there is anything that man thinks that is completely of God without any response on the part of man that makes him a child of God, that is to be nullified. But if there is in you the thought that when God begins within us and then we respond to the work of God, we become children of God, then that is the thought that is to be in your heart. Because that is the teaching of the Word of God. And therefore, let them brandish this verse before me and say, you are born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of man, but of God. Your will has nothing to do with it. Isn't that a remarkable thing? My will has nothing to do with it. And he said the verse before, you become a child of God by receiving, by believing. But not my will at all? You say, well, it doesn't mention will there. It is teaching the will there. And the Lord Jesus clarifies it when he says to his enemies, he says, you will not come unto me that you may have life. The Savior said, you have the will to come unto me. You will not come unto me that you may have life. He says, how often would I? But you would not. The Lord Jesus says there must be the exercise of the will. And he says, you will not come to me that you may have life. And he says to the children of Israel, I will, but you will not. He says, your house is left unto you desolate. Therefore, for all of those who come and bring the portions of scripture telling you that salvation is of the Lord, agree with them wholeheartedly. Yes, that man is born with a heart that is sinful, in darkness, that hates, agree with them wholeheartedly. But then, tell them also that prophet was drafted is now illumined. And it did not come illumined permanently without a man receiving the light of God. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. The light comes, and man refuses the light, and it says he remains a child of darkness. Light is come, but man loves darkness rather than light. The light comes, and some of us respond to the light, and that is when we receive, that is when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. For a moment, let me emphasize a remarkable way that God progresses when he's telling us his way of salvation. I would have thought something like this. When John tells us that as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, I thought he would have told me positive things about how salvation came about. He would have continued in a positive light. But the remarkable thing is this. Understand, he is speaking to those who already have eternal life. You must grasp that. As many as received him, to them that believe, he gives you power to become his children. He's talking to those who already have life, that are already children of God. And to those, he says this, you were begotten, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And so he is not speaking those words of the lost, but he's speaking those words of the saved. And instead of telling you in detail how of salvation, he is telling you in detail the how not of salvation. And so for that reason, God, who so often brings positive things before, at times in detail brings negative things before. And this is what he does here. I'm a child of God. And God says, yes, you are a child of God. He said, but you did not become my child this way. It was not of blood. It was not of the will of the flesh. It was not of the will of man. It was of me. And so what we have to do, since God in detail brings these three negatives before, we have to try to ascertain what he means by that. This is what it says. Now I will give you the more liberal translation of these verses, because it will better help us to understand. It says, who were begotten, not of blood. The word is in the plural. So for a moment, take on that. The first way, he says, you who have life, you did not get it this way. You did not get it through blood. What does that mean? Many have contended this, and if you want to believe this, it's perfectly in order. Since it's in the plural, they say, it did not come through the blood of your mother, it did not come through the blood of your father. Well, I'm glad that it can include that, because some, if they were told, you're not born of blood, they would say, that's right, not the blood of my father, but the blood of my mother. And if some said, no, not the blood of my mother, but the blood of my father. I'm glad that it happens to be in the plural here. But I believe that God is simply emphasizing that it is not of natural generation. It says this in Luke, in Leviticus 17. He says, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Here is life, and it's in the blood. And therefore, we are liable to think that since we become living, breathing human beings through blood, in like manner, we become children of God the same way. But it's so remarkable is this, that that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. But there was a great similarity between the two. And what is so remarkable and what is terrifying is this, that though being born of blood, that blood can pass on many acceptable traits in a man. Whether you have a dark complexion, a light complexion, whether you are attractive, all of these things are passed on. On one occasion, I remember walking with my mother of the little boy, and someone looked at me and he said, "My son, you look just like your mother." My mother said to him, "Say thank you." You see, that trait in my mother, through her blood, as we would say today, through genes, but through blood, that was passed on. And I've seen many children who have a keenness of mind like their mother, like their father. And all of you fathers and mothers say this, "Oh, he's stubborn like his mother." That's what the father says. "He's stubborn like his father." That's what the mother says. Oh, they're quite prepared to say that much is passed on through the blood. And the only thing that is certain that is passed on through the blood is this. Sometimes, some things that are good, but always one thing that is bad, and that's condemnation. So there's one thing that always comes through the blood to every child that is born, and that is contamination, and that is condemnation, and that is alienation from God. That is sin. And so if you're talking about that which is born of blood, you have to say with David, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." It says in Romans 5, "For as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men." I can assure you that you're speaking about being born of blood. How many soever the good traits, the good qualities that have been passed on to you because of your father and your mother. There is one trait I must tell you that is passed on, and it is irrevocably passed on, and it is without exception passed on, that is their fallen Adamic nature. Everyone that is born of a fallen race, that person is born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And so if you're talking about being born of blood and what is passed on, the first thing you have to say was passed on was damnation. Now, I told you that in the case of flesh and blood, it always passes on that which was inherited through Adam. I told you that that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, and it always passes on that which is of God. As in Adam all men die, and as Adam was a sinner and alienated from God, so everyone that is born of flesh and blood has passed on to him that same fallen nature, that same alienation. All that is bad and corrupt and in need of redemption. You say, yes. And that which is born of the Spirit, that which is divine, is passed on all that is of God, God's divine nature, God's goodness, God's holiness. Because it says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you might become partakers of a divine nature." I receive the fallen nature through blood. And what man would think that through blood he could receive the divine nature? That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And that is why the Lord Jesus says, "Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again." Why? Because the flesh can only pass on that which flesh contains. And the Spirit only passes on that which Spirit contains. And just as God is holy and good and righteous, his perfection, so that which is born of the Spirit partakes of the divine nature. And God says he has given exceeding great and precious promises that through these you may become partakers of divine nature. And what are those promises? As many as received him, to them gave he power to become God's children. That's the promise. To them that believe on his name, that is the promise. And God has said the reason that he gave these promises is that you might become partakers of a divine nature. And notice, there it says, as many as believe the promises. And this is the promise which he has promised us, even eternal life, the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised. And it says that all of these blessings are given to those who believe. Therefore, when our Savior, and this is a good portion after yesterday, the Savior said in John chapter 8, he said, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. There is a freedom nationally, and there was a freedom spiritually. And the Lord Jesus said, the Son can make you free, that is, spiritually. And they said to him, we be Abraham's seed and have never been in bondage to any man. Notice what they're pleading. Blood. They're saying, we are Abraham's seed. We've never been in bondage to any man. The Lord Jesus said, you're in bondage to Satan right now. They're talking about physical things. And they're saying, this physical descent from Abraham automatically makes us spiritually children of God. The Lord Jesus said, absolutely not. He acknowledged, he said, I know that you are Abraham's seed. He said that there was another part to Abraham. He said, if Abraham were your father, you would not seek to kill me. He said, if God were your father, you would love me. You see, here is Abraham, the father of Isaac, and Isaac, the father of Jacob, and Jacob, the son of Reuben, Simeon, Levi. We are descendants of Abraham. And the Lord Jesus said, I acknowledge that. He said, but that does not make you a child of God. That makes you a child of Abraham. I acknowledge that. But Abraham is not only the father of the physical. He is the father of the faithful. And to become a descendant of Abraham, the father of the faithful, requires faith. And that is what they fail to understand. And that is perhaps what you have failed to understand as well. You say, since I have been born of blood, a descendant of Abraham, therefore, it automatically projects me into God's spiritual family. The Lord Jesus said, absolutely not. He said, I know you are Abraham's seed. I know you are of the blood of Abraham. I know that you are Abraham's seed. And he said, you are of your father, the devil. Now that should be fine. Any man who is trusting in what he inherits through blood, through father or mother, through natural generation. The Lord Jesus said, I know you are Abraham's seed, and it is worthless. You have to be born again. And not only so, but that's what John the Baptist told them when the Jews came out to be baptized. To be baptized with the baptism of repentance, he said this. He said, begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. You see that same boat? Blood. Who are born not of blood. That is why God goes into detail negatively 3 times to show you, now that you are a child of God, that did not bring about this new birth. And it did not come from anything that you inherited through blood. Not all the good qualities of Abraham can be transferred to you. Only the sinful nature of Abraham can be transferred to you. The fathers, one after another, in the Old Testament, as well as men in the New Testament, understood that what they were was not passed on to their children. One of the finest fathers in the Old Testament was Job. And when his children would get together on their day, 7 sons and 3 sisters, they would all get together and rejoice and feast. after they ended their feasting, it said, Job their father sent and sanctified them and offered a burnt offering for each one of his children. Why? Because Job was irreproachable. God the Father talked about Job. Hast thou considered my servant Job? There was none like him in all the land, one to fear God and his truest evil. And Job knew that in spite of what he was, and that these 10 were his children, he said, I have to offer sacrifices for them. I have to sanctify them. Why? Because he said, even though they are my flesh and blood, they still are sinners. And that's what all you fathers and mothers should think. If you might think that perhaps because you are a child of God, God somehow is going to impart the salvation that is in you because of some physical thing, God says, not of blood. Job knew it. And the sad thing is this, that David, the man after God's heart, he knew it too. When his son, Absalom, was slain by Joab, he said, Oh Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died in thy stead. Oh Absalom, my son, why? Because he knew that Absalom was accursed, that he was alienated from God, and he knew that he was lost. And he said, Would God I had died in thy stead. And yet flowing through the veins of Absalom was the blood of David, the man after God's heart. And yet David was crying unto God, wishing that he could have died in his stead. Why? Because he would be with the Father, and thy presence is full of joy, and thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. He knew that Absalom was not there. And therefore, if you are descended from Abraham, that blood will not make you a child of God. If you are descended from David, Abraham, the friend of God, the father of the faithful, David, the man after God's heart, it does not mean that you are in God's family. You must be born again. That's what Christ is saying. That which is born of the flesh. If it's Abraham's flesh, it's flesh. If it's David's flesh, it is flesh. If it is Samuel's flesh, it is flesh. And Samuel was that chosen prophet of God. And yet his sons, Joel and Abijah, were children of hell. And the high priest Eli had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and they were children of hell. And yet they would boast, My father is the high priest. The Savior would say, You must be born again. I am Samuel's son. You must be born again. I am David's son. I am Abraham's son. And John the Baptist said, Begin not to say within yourself, We be Abraham's seed. God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Well, I'm David. Then you will perish unless you are born again. And so God says, not of blood. Now, can you boast any ancestry equaling those of Abraham, the friend of God, David, the man after God's heart, the high priest, Samuel? Can you boast any ancestors with those spiritual qualifications? You say no. Then if their children must be born again, your children must be born again. And any of you who are children who say, I'm trusting that God will accept me because of my father, my mother, a permanent ancestor that I have, God will accept me. God is seeking to destroy that satanic thought, that thought of damnation immediately by telling you, Your father who is a child of God, your mother who is a child of God, they did not become a child of God through blood. Therefore, since they did not become through blood, the next thing I have to attempt to do is this. Well, I have to become a child of God some way, and therefore, they say, I will do it by self-determination. But God says, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. And this is a remarkable thing, the will of the flesh. Let me give you an example. Israel, who had been empowered by God to go and fight against the greatest obstacles, the greatest numbers of enemies, the greatest cities, and destroy them all. And yet, here was an insignificant city. And God said, you cannot fight against that city. They said, we will fight against that city. Why, we've overcome giants. We've overcome multitudes. And they, of their own will, went to fight against the enemies of God. And they beat them down to the ground. Why? Because it's the will of man. I will overcome. God said, apart from me, you can do nothing. You will not overcome. It's like poor Samson. Samson, when Delilah had his hair shorn, he said, I will go out as at other times. But he wished not that the Spirit of God had departed from him. And so, of his own will and self-determination and strength, he was going to escape. But you will find that he became weak and like any other man when God departed from him. And so here is a man who says, I will become a child of God. I determine that I will enter heaven. God says, not of the will of the flesh. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. He said, behold, I tell you a mystery, and it remains a mystery to most, because they think that by their own will they can become children of God. Now, I must interject this. Without your will, you will never become a child of God. The Lord Jesus said that. He said, you will not come unto me that you might be saved. Do not tell me that the will is not involved. The Lord Jesus said, how often would I, but you will not. Your house is left unto you desolate. Never tell me when the Savior has told me that the will must be exercised, that the will is not involved in becoming a child of God. But the solution is so simple. Since verses 12 and 13 are next to one another, this is what it says in Philippians 2. Paul says, so then, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. For it is God who worketh in you, both to will and to work. I see. I am to will and I'm to work. And what's going to bring it about? It is God who worketh in you. But God, having worked in me, then there must be that willingness on my part. There must be that working on my part. Of course, that's what verse 13 is emphasizing. They are born of God, not of your will, unassisted by God. Your vision, your insight. The Lord Jesus said, Simon, flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, that my Father who is in heaven, yes, the Father must reveal. The Savior said, none enough among yourselves. No man can come unto me except the Father who sent me draw him. But when God draws and when the Father works in a man, he works in you for what purpose? To will. And therefore, the willing comes in verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And I want to illustrate from the scripture itself what it means to receive the Lord Jesus, the Savior. The Lord Jesus, in Luke chapter 19, was walking along on an occasion, and a little man named Zacchaeus climbed the sycamore tree to see who he was. And when the Lord Jesus came to that sycamore tree, he looked up and he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And it said, Zacchaeus made haste and came down and received him joyfully. That is receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus says, come, and you make haste at the response to the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you receive him. And just as his home was open for the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus provided, so in like manner, the Lord Jesus desires to dwell in our hearts by faith. And when the Lord Jesus knocks and seeks admittance, and as Zacchaeus made haste and came down from that tree and took the Lord Jesus home, received him gladly into his home. So when the Lord Jesus seeks admission into your inner being, you say, yes, Lord Jesus, you make haste and come down and receive him by faith joyfully. And when you do that, It says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The Lord Jesus loves you and wants you saved. Receive, believe, and become a child of God. Time is gone. Let me pray. Now, Father, we would hasten to acknowledge that apart from thee, we can do nothing. That our God, we have read what you have said. We must work out our own salvation. We must will, because you first, our God, have worked in us to will and to do thy good will. Our Father, we must love thee. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. That thou hast told us, we love because thou hast first loved us. And we acknowledge that fully, our God, that salvation is of God, it is of thee. But our Father, being of thee, draw us and let us run after thee. Give us the command to abide at our houses, and then as the Zacchaeus of old, let us joyfully receive you into our lives. Let us do this and be praised in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.